One builds on the other. And if I was going to talk about living in harmony, honor one another, I could do it in this lesson. If someone was doing that, they could easily say, serve one another. So I relate it to like carpenters. And carpenters come together. And sometimes you see where one stop, the other start. But what you might not see is who's behind the scenes. There were people that drew up plans. There were people that coordinated that. And over a period of time, things have changed. When I was in school, you used a plane. That was an instrument that went like this, okay? Today, you wouldn't use a plane. And so there are transitions in life that you go through. But the bottom line is we're serving one another the way we did when Jesus taught, okay? So this lesson is very important because we want to greet one another. And so if I could have the next slide, please. I'm focusing on basically three words. First one, obviously, is focus. The second one is preferences. And the third is transition. Now, we are keeping our focus on the journey. Now, let me just tell you, the journey is this. We're coming down this aisle. Our journey, our focus, ought to always be on the cross. And so we don't want to get in front. We want to be the journey that we're on always focuses on the cross. Okay, so you don't want to get in between. Sometimes you do. And so you want to keep your eyes on the cross. Where do we learn that? Well, we learn that in the scripture. Jesus always had his focus on the cross. It was Jesus who always said, I am focused on Jerusalem. I am focused on the cross. I am focused on serving my Lord and God. Okay? So we're following Jesus. And so that's where we want to be. And on his journey, and since we're in this church, I thought I'd use as much as I can, is as we're coming down this aisle and we're on this journey, all of us are in different parts of this aisle. But Jesus served many times as he was coming down this aisle. Do you think he had any problems coming down the aisle? Yeah. How about going into a couple synagogues and they weren't happy with him? They weren't happy with him even after he was crucified. They said, give us Barabbas. Okay, so you see here that there was all types of people that are coming. They're trying to move him off course. He said, it's a straight and narrow road. You know, follow that road. And in doing that, like all of us, we have distractions every day. I call distractions the devil, Satan. I think Satan is probably more one-on-one with Jesus because he can't be here and there because only God can do that. But all of his minions are out there, and they're attacking us all the time. And if you don't believe that, pick up a paper, look, and you'll see those distractions. But what did he do? He healed the blind. We see that coming down. We see that he healed the lame. He healed the deaf. He even healed people that were up in a tree come down. And they were saying, wait a minute, where are you going? You can't eat with those people. You know, you got to eat with a different type of people. Well, no, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying all. So he's, and then teach. Has that ever changed? You teach a word when? In season, out of season. So you're always focusing on where you are, where you can be, and how you can do it. So again, as each of us are on this journey, we're on it to focus on the Lord. When we lose that, what do? We ask forgiveness. The Lord forgives. Okay? In that forgiveness process might be, I got to go to that person personally and ask forgiveness. Is that easy? Probably not. And probably have to go to a lot of people and ask forgiveness of what I might have done. But here's the one that says, and I kind of smile at this one a little bit, but, you know, that's me. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for many." Wow. Weren't people, Pontius Pilate? Wasn't he saying, you are the King of the Jews, are you not? Even on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, King of the Jews. What did the Jews say? Take it down. Take it down. And what did he say? No. I am what I am. Okay, so he didn't take it down. And I smile at that because that's totally different than what a king would be at that time. And I'm not picking out any particular king that might be in this room today, but there are kings that we looked at in history that they were served all the time. People came to them with food. They came at his feet. They served him the food. What else? He didn't just walk in and say, "Hey, king, how you doing today? You better have a special invitation to come. If you don't have that, then that's not going to work." And remember Queen Esther? Had that on her mind, and it worked out that she could go and talk to the king. And we know the rest of that story. But here, again, it's important to say he gave his life for many to serve and not to be served. And now we look at preferences, the second one. Church splits on many issues. Bruce, when he had the first one, he used music as a area in explaining love and one another. He hit the spiritual nail right on the head. He said he'll sing a love song. And the church never splits on a preference of music. Could be a problem sometimes. It could be worked out. But it didn't split. And, you know, there are those of us, turn on page 222 of the hymnal and sing. Okay, that's my preference. But I'm not going to storm out because it's not there. I'm going to adjust, okay? And I thought the people say, "Well, Al, you have different preferences." And I said, "Yes, I do." And you would say, "Your preference is always to wear a suit." And it is. But what you might not know is my preference is to wear different kinds of socks. And so today I have my, the ones you gave me. Mr. Rogers socks. I have my Mr. Rogers socks. And sometimes I might have on Father's Day. Look, they're there. They're Father's Day socks. And yes, I have to tell you that in Christmas time, I do wear Rudolph the reindeer socks. And yes, I have little red things on. Sometimes they come off. Sometimes they don't get sewed back on. But that's a preference. And so when you look at people, understand their preferences. Understand where they are. And don't judge them prematurely because of them. And then you look at transition. Transition is, look at Windsor Baptist Church. I look at that as a transition. And I'll start by saying that every transition starts somewhere in the back. As you go through life, your transitions are different. Some people recently graduated from high school. That's a transition. When I did, in relationship to that, I'd be out in the parking lot. I mean, you weren't even born when I graduated. But see that this church had what? They had farms. And I checked this with Walt Steyer, because Walt and Char are the only active, to some degree, farmers that are around. And Walt gave me the history of this whole area. And it wasn't the way you see it today. It's the way he saw it. It's the way the congregation in here saw it. That's who they were. They were farmers. They transitioned from that. And if you see that, look out the window. You'll see the transition where you used to be farmland is now what I call opportunities. Those are opportunities. Some people call them townhouses and dwellings. They're opportunities. Okay, so you will see these developments appear. And you see many opportunities that you have. And what does it do for this church? It doesn't stifle the church. It enhances the church. It shows church growth. Have we, in the last year, been praying for church growth? Have we been praying for opportunities to bring people into this church? Why in the world would we do that? Well, you all know the answer. We preach the word, and we don't change from it. We are educating people. So we are now in the purpose of changing from, remember when preschool first came in? That was a transition. Remember when the first academy was proposed by Jim Runyon? Wow, that was a transition. And guess where we are now? We're in another transition. So we're in a transition to serve the Lord. And so the question would be, are you prepared to serve the Lord? The answer should be yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay? And so when you look at sometimes you close this part by saying, what other transitions do you see that could be a problem? Well, this is not going to be a problem, because the Lord has led us to this point in time. So wherever we personally are on the transition in our life, whether we're just starting out, or unfortunately for some of us, this is the goal line. You know, so when you get to that point, there are transitions. And can you imagine? I was at the Cathedral of Notre Dame with Pauline on a trip. And you look at the vastness of that cathedral. And you look at the devastation that has hit right now. And you say, wow, how are they ever going to rebuild that? Ask yourself this question. You can rebuild it if you have all of the material, wherever it is. Probably all the trees that would be taken down to repair that would cause a traffic jam somewhere in Paris. If it didn't, how do you put it together? You don't use hammers and nails. They didn't have that. They cut, hewn, marked, and numbered all of the timber, and then they brought it there. And they put it together, basically silently. And so could you do that today? My gosh, that would be impossible. So you see that even back then, you look at where we are. And so remember where you are in your transition. Remember always to keep your focus on the cross and to always know where preferences are, and don't let them move you into another area that the evil one can get a hold of you. Okay, next one. We're looking at the key verse here. Christ has set us free. And in Galatians 5:13 it says, "For you were called to freedom." Key word. "Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Okay, when we're looking at that, it's very clear in that passage that the freedom for Christ has set us free. And therefore, we do not ever submit to the yoke of slavery. We're free from that. And it's clear from the Jewish ceremonial laws and regulations that we're free from that. But not from the obedience of Christ and God's moral standards. Not free from that. And in Galatians, "For you were called freedom, brothers. Only not use your freedom as an opportunity, but love, serve one another, and escape the bondage from fulfilling the law." And if you want to follow with me, in Acts 16, and I'm looking at probably somewhere around 25 to 40, I'll tell you this. When this was written by Paul, the key word here was freedom. Okay? And now we're going to look in here that he is in prison. And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And they were severely flogged. They were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas, here's the difference. Midnight. It's not light out at midnight. It's dark. But Paul and Silas, as they were looking at this, they're saying, okay, what do we do? What does Paul and Silas do? They sing hymns. They're singing hymns of praise. They're in stocks. They're bound. But they're singing in the inner prison at midnight. The only thing you can never take away from a Christian is God and the presence of Jesus Christ, even if it's midnight. Okay? And so with this freedom, the prison, he was willing to open the door to salvation for the jailer, okay? And we see here that at once, suddenly there was a violent earthquake, okay? And the earthquake, that the foundation of the prison was shaken. I will point out here that earthquakes were not unusual at this time, but they were, they happened. So an earthquake happens. And we see that all at once the prison doors flew open. How would you like to be the jailer? Okay? And you see the doors are being flown wide open. You're saying, not a good night. Okay? And the chains fell off. Really not a good night. He woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, what did he do? He had an obligation. His obligation was very clear. You will keep these people, Paul and Silas and others, bound, chained, and you will have them there. And if you fail, guess what? You personally will take on that responsibility. You will suffer the death penalty. Man, it's dark outside, okay? And that's all he's seeing is some darkness. But Paul shouted here, and he says, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling upon them before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow. See the transition here? It's a big one. Here is a guy who, not long ago, was beating up on these people. He was hurting them. And now he's asking them, "What must I do to be saved?" He says in verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and your household." And your household. So, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. At that hour of night, the jailer took, and look at this, the jailer took and washed the wounds of those who he had inflicted earlier on. That's a big change here. That's a big transition where they did that. And they immediately, and all his family, were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before him. Okay? And before them, the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. So when it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." This is not what conversations were supposed to be a couple days before that. And it goes back to Galatians 5:13, where it says, you were called to freedom. Okay? So you have that freedom, and again, that freedom doesn't change. You might think that there are no opportunities for you to serve people. You might think that, "Oh yeah, I can't do that." Well, don't lose focus. I can do all things through who? Through Christ, who strengthens me. So you're looking at that, and so we now see that there are things that have changed. And the things that have changed is this. It's now, hate to tell you the year, most of you in here might read about it in the history books, but it was 1951. 1951, I said to my father, "Dad, can I have an allowance?" He said, "What? Allowance? I need money. Go get a job." I had the upper hand back in 1951. You had to have working papers from the school to say that you were allowed to have a job. Okay, this is a history lesson for most of you. So I go to school. I get the papers. My dad signs them. And I'm off on my job. I decided to look at serving newspapers. Now, I'll give you a difference of serving newspapers. Pastor Ben, when he was talking about newspapers, he had it easy, okay? He stood at the door. People came out of the door, put a quarter in a jar, and he was done. That's not what I did. It was 5 cents for a paper. I got two, the paper got three, and I had to serve it. I had to take it there. So what I decided to do at that time was go to everyone on my route, which I did. "Hi, I'm Al, your new paper boy. I'm here to serve you. Where would you like your newspaper?" Now, I did have an ulterior motive. I've got to tell you this. It's called a tip, okay? But I did want to know, where did they want the paper? Maybe you've had this happen. Maybe you haven't. You have someone deliver a paper and it ends up on the lawn in the rain. Or it ends up on your neighbor's driveway or wherever. On my route, wherever they wanted it, that's where I put it. Now, I'm left-handed. So I'm going down the street and I can pitch pretty good left-handed. So I put those babies, fold them, and then throw them right up there. And that was good. And I did it. And so things were going great. And then it happened. I'm down to 17 papers. And I'm listening on the radio. A lady had pulled up on the side. It was a gigantic baseball game at the time. And I had I was a big, big Brooklyn Dodger fan. No question about it, I was. And so I am listening to the game. It's in the ninth inning. There are two outs. And the score is Brooklyn 4, New York 2. And the Dodgers decided to bring in Ralph Branca. Ralph Branca was a starting pitcher who they thought could get the final out. And so, so they bring him in. I'm intense on this game. And then it happened. Next slide, please. I can't see it too good, and I don't want to see it because it blurs my memory, but the pitcher was Ralph Branca. Who was the batter? Got it, Bobby Thompson. Bobby Thompson hits the ball out of the stadium. Now, what is the reaction on that fateful day? Well, I'll tell you what the reaction was. Let's look at Ralph Branca. Next slide, please. He is devastated. Cookie LaVigetto, who is a coach, he couldn't believe it. People were in disbelief. This home run has been used forever, called the shot that was heard around the world. Okay? This happened at exactly 3:58 on October 3rd, 1951. Okay? Trust me, I'll never forget it. Now, you can release that slide. Now, back to the paper route. 17 papers to go. I hear this devastating news, and I am not happy. Happy would have been, I wasn't nowhere near happy. I was in disbelief. I just could not believe what happened. And so something unusual happened to me that time. I took those 17 papers and I threw them up on the roof. Those people didn't get the paper. And when I did that, I don't know till today how those papers got down. I have a feeling that my dad saw all my frustration and when I wasn't around, took them down. But they were up there. What did I do at that time? I put myself in front of a cross. I was the stumbling block. People saw me, my anger. I was not anywhere near focused on the Lord. I can tell you, nowhere near that, okay? So that was my experience there. And I have used that experience over the many years. I have decided back in the 80s that I was picked to be chairman of Pennsylvania Association of Mutual Insurance Companies. And at that time, we were 100 strong in Pennsylvania. And I was asked, what's your motto for the year? And I am a button collector. So I had they had it made up for me. We are here to serve. Because I remembered, I'm not putting myself in that harm's way again. And I'm going to move. And so I made sure that during that entire year that I was there, we would have a chaplain at every of our meetings. We would open up in prayer. And we would put our differences of different companies aside. And we would serve our policyholders, whoever they were. So that's where we were. So So we look at the final thing about maybe 10 years ago, maybe not quite that long. Pauline and her friend have a luncheon with her nurse friends. Well, the one nurse, husband, and I have been very good friends. So we come up and we're eating, and he says, "Al, by the way, did I ever tell you this story?" I said, "No. You know, I'm a big golfer." And I said, "Yeah, I know that." And he said, "You know, I have a good friend and a neighbor who's my golfing partner a lot of times. Have you ever heard of Bobby Thompson?" And I said, "Oh, man, yeah, I did hear of him." And he went on to tell me how great of a guy he was. He went on to tell me that the differences between Ralph Branca and Bobby Thompson had long ago been severed, and they became extremely good friends. So that's my story. And so we don't want to be a stumbling block to the cross, to the Jews who could not accept a crucified Savior. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, Paul closes this section by saying, by love, serve one another. He says, we fulfill the law when we live in love. Okay? And the Christian says, I have liberty to sin, has no understanding of the cross. You might sin. You don't have liberty. It's not your right to sin. But I have liberty to sin, understands nothing of the cross. In Deuteronomy 11:13, it says this, and if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and your soul. Okay? God will bless you with an abundance of all good things if they serve him. The favor of God shall put gladness in your heart. You ever see that? People are serving. They're not looking like this. Yeah. They usually have a smile because they're serving the Lord. So sometimes if you see somebody, hey, serve the Lord, get a smile on. Okay? Where'd you hear that? Well, you don't have to tell me it hurt. And the favor of God will put gladness in your heart more than, I go back to my farmer friends, more than the increase that you get in the fields, more than the increase you get with corn, more the increase that you get with others. Those who are in business, they might not be looking at increases as far as crops, but they might be looking very intently at what the stock market is doing, how it goes up, how it goes down, and how it affects. And then we look in 1 Samuel 7:3, it says, Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the poles among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. And very, very true. And that's exactly what happens. In Daniel 3:17, it says this, if our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. O king, remember that guy? Hey, put those guys in there and we'll burn them. What did they do? They didn't run. They went in. And guess what? They didn't get burned. And there was another person in there with them. Okay? And then we see in Joshua, it says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, Choose a day who you will serve. And choose who you will serve. Whether the God, small g, of your fathers served in a region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Here's the key. But for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So again, many people like Joshua had a vision of eternity in mind. And always keep your eye upon the cross. And again, in the New Testament, in John 12, 26, it says this: if a man serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, shall my servant be. If a man serves me, he will honor my Father. Wow. Okay? Matthew 6:24 says this, and I think sometimes we fall into this gap and we immediately get out of it when we realize where we are. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And let me say this. Remember when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? Remember that some people said, Jesus said, particularly the rich young ruler, sell all you have and follow me. What did that guy do? He didn't have a smile on his face. He went away dejected because he could not get rid of his wealth. Could not do that. What did the other ones do? They left their nets immediately. They followed. They didn't say, hey, I have to do this, I have to do that. They followed. And so that's what we should be doing. Follow. And, you know, sometimes you see there was a rich young, there was a banker who was very rich. And I think it's one of the two, so I won't give you either name because I'll probably have the wrong name. But they said to this banker, how much more money do you need? And the answer was, one more dollar. One more dollar, okay? And so when we look here, we see evidence of this. In Acts chapter 2, we see that what was happening to the church, it was multiplying. We started out with 3,000 believers added daily. What was the secret of this amazing growth? The leaders were willing to pay any price to serve Christ. People lived their faith daily. People were added daily to Christian service. Service in God's house to house was common there. Today, we might change the name a little bit, but we call it small groups, where we gather in other people's houses and we go through the Word of God. And what else happens? It's the teaching of the Word from the pulpit. Happens all the time. We don't say, well, you know, it says this, but I researched this, and in this commentary, it said, knock out these words and put these words in. No. And the other thing that is more important is we're exalted to Jesus Christ. I mean, that's where we go. And that's our focus. And it's extremely interesting to note, the first office bearers were to be appointed were chosen not to talk, but to practical service. Now remember the situation. All these people are coming in, and they had to find other ways to serve them, right? They served them food, they served them, and they had, I had some of these words all mixed up with my Greek, and so I'm not telling you what they were, but when you were looking at serving, you could say, well, it was a deacon or this or an elder. What do we have here? You know, we ought to be praying every day to thank this church for the vision that they've had for many, many years. But the vision they had not too long ago was to say, Let's educate our people. Let's educate them and show what elders do. And we went to an elder board. And that was a process that took a long time. Look at the results that are coming in. Look at the results. If you don't know them, talk to Phil Marks. He'll tell you how his life has changed a little bit since that day. And again, it's to elevate the Lord. And I just wanted to, if I can find my note, that I want to end it with this one thing from a couple people, and I guess I don't have it, or I probably lost it somewhere. But there are those who have quoted where they were and what they want to do. And all of the quotes is Mother Teresa, and I'm just, you know, paraphrasing her. It's the little things that I can do to help others improve their life somewhat. And so that goes on and on. So that's where I am. And if call Pastor Ben up, it's quarter of, so. While he's coming off, I found my note, okay? Rick Warren said this, saying, "Faithful servant never retires. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God." John Maxwell adds this, "True leadership must be for the benefit of the followers, not to be entrusted to the leader." The leader bringing the followers. And I better tell you what Mother Teresa really said, okay? Not all can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Thank you.